Before we pray, I would like to read the word from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 51. Here are precious words. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Perhaps up to here, this precious word of God, it's a glorious call that God calls out to his people, that they should look to him. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what else should we seek in this time? What should our attention be focused on? I think the only thing we can say over and over again is that he is our goal. He is our refuge. He is our all in all. And so we are glad that we may hear his word and call upon it. When we read his word, it is already a call to us, and we can respond to this call. We can say, yes, Lord, here we are as your people, as your chosen ones, and we can look at what you have done. And then he goes on and he says everything that is going to happen, what will happen to the Gentile nations, to the peoples, to all them, to the heavens, to the earth, all that will happen. But one thing we know, whoever stands by him and whoever belongs to him remains with him for time and for eternity. And so we are grateful, brothers and sisters, that tonight we may again praise our God, and that we can say, tonight, Lord, speak to us. Tell us what you want to tell us from your word, through your good Holy Spirit, through your servant. Yes, it is our desire, our longing. I believe the longing of God's people has always been for what God has spoken. Already in the time of the Lord, when He came, we read there were people who carried the longing in them, who were waiting for the great appearing, for the Messiah, when He will come, because He was announced. And I think in all ages, people have been waiting for the Lord. And especially we in these last times, when we know that His coming is so near, we wait for it with longing. We want to be ready when He appears. And that is why we come together again and again. We want to praise His name, worship Him, and also want to listen to what He has to say to us. Yes, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. That is something wonderful. Well, I don't know. But Paul, when he had to answer, it must have been before Agrippa. I don't know exactly. I was just reading in the book of Acts. It was so wonderful when he said, I have to answer because of the law and because of our hope. Yes, that's wonderful. And that struck me so, you know, because he believed with all his heart. He believed with all his heart the whole Word of God, from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to the end. They didn't have the new one yet, but he believed it with all his heart. And this became so great to me. And people could not understand him. And may people also may not understand us. And as we have heard it here, if they may revile us, or despise us, or this or that, well, whatever may come, but we need not fear. That's what the Word says here. But we can be confident in our Lord, for He has become all in all for us, and He will bring us through it all. And for this we are glad and thankful. Now let us stand up and let us pray together. And then Brother Frank will speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for this hour of grace, for this evening, Lord, that we have come again to call upon Your precious and holy name, to worship You, Lord, to praise and glorify You, to sing praises to You, for You are our Lord, our Savior, You are our God. Hallelujah. We worship You also tonight for Your precious and holy Word, which You have addressed to us even now in this hour. And we know, Lord, You have prepared more for us. We ask You, Lord, be gracious to us in this evening hour. Take from us all that is not pleasing to Thee. Lord, cleanse me, cleanse us, Lord. Make us so perfect in Thee, Lord, so pure, that Thou, Lord, mayest do all in all. Give grace to all of us who have come here tonight to praise Your precious and holy name. Bless my dear brother, Lord. Bless all Your people. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless all Your people, Lord, on all the earth, Lord, tonight, Lord. Perhaps they are sick. Perhaps they are weak. Perhaps there is need. We lay all things before You, for we know You are able to make all things well. Your name be praised and glorified, now and always. Hallelujah. To You the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated. We are very grateful to the Lord that we can come together to worship, to seek His face, and to pray that He will help us, that He will bless. We rejoiced on Sunday after the service in Zurich. We were glad to see that the hall was filled to to capacity, as far as I could tell. But not only that, but also the word of the Lord. Sometimes you have to read certain things, and you have noticed, I already said it here on Saturday evening, when I read the story of this Jesuit who was in the service of the Roman Church for so many years, and all these schemes of which we all know nothing at all and suspect nothing at all, what all is done with the extended arm and in what way, then you realize how important and necessary it was that God clearly revealed the whole system to our beloved brother Branham. And you only have to read Luther's foreword of the prophet Daniel or of the book of Revelation. And I must say, it has been such an agreement and a knowledge of God. We are sometimes afraid to say something, but I read it out on Sunday that Pentecostal churches and all of them, they were listed by name, it was in the newspaper, how they all go into the ecumenical council and the service takes place in a Catholic church and they are all there. They are in. If someone had told me that 25 years ago, 20 years ago, I would not have believed him, because we still experienced times when the Pentecostal preachers knew exactly where the Antichrist was. Not one of them looked for him in Arabia 30 years ago, or with Khomeini, or with the Jews. They all knew where he was sitting, how he was dressed. They knew everything exactly. Today, it all looks very different. And we can only thank God that he has opened our eyes, that we can see all this. And as this Jesuit describes it so beautifully, that all should be captured with a slogan, "The gospel of love includes all." And that is their gospel, but it is not the gospel of God. And that is the big difference. What we believe and what we are convinced of, that is what we have to share. And you know very well, everybody should agree on that. If Brother Branham had not uncovered these things, if he had not had them revealed by God and proclaimed it, then I ask you, and today I'm also naming names, would a Billy Graham have done it? Would an Oral Roberts have done it? Would any of the great evangelists have done it? They wanted the masses. They wanted the appeal to the people. They had to drop this and that from their preaching. Otherwise, the people would not have come. God took a man who was really as simple as a man could be. And he said, when he visited the office buildings of the big headquarters in Tulsa, he said he went out on the street and began to weep and said, "Lord, you have given all this to these men, and what have I got? And what have I got?" And then the Lord spoke to him, "Your task is quite different, and your reward is not here, but above. You were born to be a prophet and to preach my word." And then he calmed down. But it can be, if you look with earthly eyes, and he knew that he was one of the first to appear after the Second World War. And he said, my office is a trailer 7 meters long and about 2 meters 40 wide. He said, if one of these two men came and saw what I had, how would I stand before them? But it wasn't the outside thing that mattered. That's all left behind. But what God gave him, he didn't give to anyone else. And the buildings, even the newest ones with millions, they can't be transported anywhere, and that wouldn't do anyone any good. But the word revealed by God for this time is so tremendous, so precious, so necessary. And we know that this man laid down his life for it. But now it is our turn to pass on, to have the courage, to tell others the things that God has revealed. And now the thing is, if we don't say them, someone else won't say them, because they all have to go in somewhere, and you have to have tact, don't you, and adjust to others. And then it's done. And if I consider that only he who has received them from God, to whom they have become certainty and revelation, he can bring them. There's no other way. There is no need to deceive ourselves. We are here to give glory to God, to praise his name. But we are also here not to hide the light under a bushel and not to deny the divine revelations, but to confess clearly what God has spoken and to preach the word with boldness, come what may. For it must be brought. I was just thinking, for example, of the word here that was read. When a person approaches God's word with his mind, it says here in this description, look to Abraham, your father. Then take the word from Matthew 23, verse 9. And there our Lord says, you shall call no one on earth your father. Abraham was a father. He was not only called father without having children, he was a father. And he had Isaac, the son of promise. And Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, I have just now read it on my journey, how he came to his birthright and to his blessings. You really have to read it at night. It's hard to concentrate during the day. But when you have a 7-hour time difference and can read chapter after chapter for hours, yes, that's a tremendous thing. The mother told him, listen, do this thing like this and like that. Before your brother comes home, go, put something over your sleeves that's hairy, right? And the man says, but when he realizes that it's me and not my brother, then a curse will hit me. The mother says, if the curse should hit you, I will take it on myself, she says. Really, the curse I take upon me, do as I say. And we would, if we were God, we would have said, listen, Jacob, you old fox and deceiver, come on, get out of here. And what happened? God blessed, because he was up to something. An earthly man will never understand the ways of God. We see it. Who was it? I think Isaac, when he crossed his hands, was it Jacob? I think it was Jacob. Yes, he laid his hands on Joseph and Ephraim. He crossed his hands. And the father says, not so, not so. And he says, God put the hands that way for future destinies. We sometimes like to say, not so and not like this. We can all forget it. God has a way too high for us. How incomprehensible are His ways and unsearchable His judgments. What is particularly on my mind these last days? I think back to the early days of being a believer. One took things exactly. One knew sometimes at some sharp note, you must do this well before you fall asleep, otherwise you cannot fall asleep. Certain things, or all things, were taken as seriously as they could be. And I think that we have to realize, each one for himself, not another now, but for himself, that this first love and devotion and the overview that we had, or the accuracy that we had, is perhaps no longer quite there, and the Lord has to help us. God really has to help us. It seems today that everybody gets away with everything and they don't even have a conscience anymore. In the past, conscience used to strike if you had made some remark about a person and later thought about whether it was perhaps not okay. You found your way to that person and said, "Listen, brother, I'm truly sorry." There was always a balance somehow. You tried to stand before God with everything that was in you. And things have seemingly, not only seemingly, but actually changed so blatantly that one could become fearful. And the question arises, who will dwell on the holy mount? And who will be a guest with you? Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire, as written in the Psalms, or probably also in the prophet Isaiah? If God could give this back to us, to me, and to all of us, this intimacy with Him, I don't know, Brother Schmidt is probably here, the only one who was here on Sunday, but in the last prayer, I really had the connection with God. During the sermon, it was arduous, but this was really tremendous. The finishing was actually wonderful, and you could tell that the Spirit of God was very powerfully present, and we can count on the Lord really revealing Himself. But we may still have to clear up one thing and another and say, Lord, help us to do that. At one point, Brother Branham says, if you have just one strange thought towards another, then get it right. Even a thought towards another can be a hindrance to the blessing God wants to give you. You actually have to clear out every thought and everything, freely come before the face of God and say, Lord, speak, we are here to hear what you have to say. Because if this thing is blocked, God will not be able to go on with us. We have read along, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord." Yes, the waste places are there, but God has promised to make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It is like the lame man who was healed. If he had been told beforehand to hop and jump, the poor man would not have known what was wanted of him. But when he was healed, no one had to tell him, "Maybe you can jump now." But it came of its own accord. When God does something to a person, he no longer needs to be told what to do. Then he will know inwardly exactly what he should do, and it will always be right and also correctly understood by those who have also been blessed by God. There were people at that time who misunderstood it, and they came to him quite piously and said, "Give God the glory. We know that this person is a sinner." Yes, give God the glory. And that this man is a sinner, we know that. Give God the glory in such a judgment. Yes, but that is just the thing that runs through all Pharisaism to the end of time. But God has not changed yet. He has saved and continues to do so. He has healed and continues to do so. He has blessed and he will not cease to bless until the last one has been blessed, until the last one has been saved, and until we are brought to meet him. I have had, you all know, that glorious experience, and sometimes when you have seen pictures of the rapture, people were all spread out, who knows how. You all know that picture of the wide and narrow way with the rapture, with the picture. It was absolutely not like that. And of course I thought, when I saw all this, and I saw it exactly, clearly, as I see things here in the hall tonight, and on Monday evening it came into my heart, just take a sermon at random of Brother Branham and put it into the player and listen to it. And what shall I tell you? There were some things on that sermon. I pressed the button and I stopped first and I said, "That's impossible." And I don't know if I've ever heard the sermon from 63 before in my life. And there were some things in it that were so wonderful. And then he literally says that the rapture will be such that the believers, first those who have fallen asleep in Christ, will come up, and then we will be gathered and caught up together to meet the Lord. Not somehow, but in such an order that was quite wonderful. And then he said, for example, "I would like to play it sometime." Our brother Samuel always wants me to translate a sermon of Brother Branham, and I will certainly do that soon. And there he says, for example, "These sermons that I preach here, they go all over the world. They are translated into the dialects, into the jungle and so on." And then he mentions only one country, and that is Germany. And then he says, in Germany, they are sent out by the hundreds after they have been translated. Yes, I press the button again. I'm thinking, what is this? And it went on like that. But I was very desperate, I can tell you. Sometimes, when you are standing here in front, nobody can see it. But I tell you, through what a man goes, who has a ministry to do, no man will know. And Brother Branham has said some important things there. I would like to play them here, as I mentioned before. Even if they hit me, that doesn't matter at all. It should basically hit me full, if I deserve it, and it comes from God, then it should hit me full, and I'm ready to submit under it. That is the only way to get right with God, to stand your ground before God. That's the only way to bear everything, to let it all wash over you, to say yes to everything God says. I tell you how it is. For when God speaks to us, He has something to say to us, to everyone. If He has not spoken to us, then He has not spoken to us at all. When He speaks to us, He speaks to us. And when He speaks to us, then something happens. Then we were addressed. Then it didn't pass us by on the right or left, but then it hit us. But He mentions there, I may say it already now, He mentions there the operating of the gifts of the Spirit. And He says, a person who is spiritual, he is right before the point that he could go mad. And He literally says, if you are not careful, it's so close together. But I will prefer to translate it literally before I quote it off the cuff. And that is actually the thing. We don't want to be somehow close to it. We want to be whole and complete in the cause of God. No more and no less. Close is not yet at the finish line. Close can also be past the mark. But when we are fully in the Word of God, then God is in us. And the Lord says in John 15, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, then you may ask what you will, and it will be given you. However, this word must be brought in line with what is written in the Epistle of John, where John says, if we are heard, then we know that we have brought before God the petitions that we have received from Him. So this is not a story like at Christmas, that you kind of write out a wish list, but it is a thing that is put on your heart by God, that is in the will of God, and then the Lord hears us and answers. And that is really the prayer of all of us. I have also experienced this now on the last journey, and it was actually only one brother who sometimes missed the mark a little bit, but he did it politely. And if people do it politely, then you forgive with all your heart, and you are not angry with anyone anyway. But he just wanted to know about this pertinent subject. Somehow he wanted to know, how do you understand what Brother Branham said? I say, just the way he said it. And then, of course, he says, yes, how did he say it? I say, the way he said it. And I should give him an interpretation. And so I say, I accept it as it was revealed to him by God. And then he started and said, yes, but, and so on. And then he kind of wanted to hurt me. And that's when I said, brother, wait a minute. Are you here to hear what I have to say? I mean no. And I say, just as well, I'm not here to hear what you have to say. I say, either we are both here to hear what God has already told us, or we can both pretend that God hasn't talked yet. I say, you haven't used a single scripture yet of those that God has given to Brother Branham. I say, you have talked past the talking of God. And that's the way it is. Sometimes we don't get it. We mean so terribly well, and we don't know that we are like those in Jesus' day. You have abrogated the commandment of God, and you have given your tradition to the people. It doesn't make any sense. After a divine revelation of His Word, tradition has no place. God's revealed Word applies there and nothing else. There's no other way. If we want to talk past it, right and left, then God has spoken in vain, and we have not understood what has been spoken. And I have to say, at the end, the brother, like rarely anyone, asked me to forgive him. He said, Brother Frank, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. I was thinking my own thoughts, and I say, Brother, what has God been talking about? Why did God reveal things? Surely it is because we did not know before, and that is why He sent a prophet to make it all known to us. I am not going to do that again, that I am going to pass by what God has spoken. You know very well that when you read Paul's letters, it is written, if you all speak in tongues and an unbeliever comes in, he will say, aren't you all out of your minds? But if you prophesy, then shall the thoughts of his heart be revealed, and he shall fall on his face and say, God is truly in your midst. And when then Brother Branham says that the gifts are not to be operated in the service as a matter of principle, but before the service, then a man who has read the Bible long enough has great difficulty in obeying this instruction and order. But one thing I will tell you, if we as children of God are willing to obey these orders, then God will do even more while we are obedient than we can even suspect or think or ask for. But first, we must walk this divine path of obedience before God can perhaps use us in any greater way. Surely, a person who knows the Bible can right away say, yes, but that is set out here in such and such a way. We are not here to play things off against each other now. We are here to submit under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, this is how you have ordered it. The responsibility is not ours. You have taken that on by speaking through your servant and prophet and giving the orders and instructions. We place ourselves under it with all that we are and have. Then God will bless, and we will have no more worry or trouble about having to clean up broken pieces. Furthermore, I do not allow myself to get involved in anything else. For me, God's Word is the only measuring rod and nothing else. And any spirit that does not submit to the Word of God is not of God. And this is what Brother Branham says so blatantly and clearly, that it goes through all your bones. And we know from the past, and last night my brother Helmut was still telling me about the meetings in Karlsruhe many years ago. There was a man who stood up at every opportunity. The preacher was in front and preached. Suddenly, like a tumbler, he was there again and started to give his revelation. And the people put him down And after he noticed that they were looking away, he was up again and interrupted non-stop. And then the preacher, that was Paul Cain, he said very quietly, "The Spirit is subject to the prophets." Yeah, but not that Spirit. The Spirit of God, yes. The Spirit of God, yes. But not the Spirit that ruled this man. And because it was not the right Spirit, there was not the right order. Where the right Spirit is, there is the right divine order. And there the Spirit is subject to the prophets. Because the prophets are in accordance with the Word of God. And the Spirit has written the Word. It's in accordance. But if a person does not allow himself to be subdued at all, but keeps doing his own thing, and thinks that the Spirit is pushing him. No, it's not like that. The Spirit of God has established the divine order here. And it says, let prophets speak two or three, and this one after the other. And not otherwise. But there is so much that is done and attributed to the Spirit of God that just doesn't belong there. And we basically don't want anything else. And I've said it often enough. Only the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the blood of the Lamb, and the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, everything should come into its own. Then we too will come into our own. And then God will be able to bless abundantly. And I'm convinced that the Lord will really give us much grace. And if we start right, start with God, love Him from the heart, and love one another from the heart, and really no longer say anything detrimental about anyone, but speak good of one another, as it is written, and really take the divine path, then the Lord can't help but be with us and reveal Himself and confirm His Word, and we will have an atmosphere in which God feels good, in which we feel good, and in which the work of the Holy Spirit can be revealed. That's all we want. I was reading quickly tonight about David when he took the census, and it literally says that Satan tempted him. And then the whole story starts. And the Lord gets angry. The people were numbered. And the wrath of God, it says in verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now, I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Such a man of God, of whom the Lord himself, being the son of David, and of whom the Holy Scripture speaks more than of any other. And he admits here and says, I have done very foolishly. I have been guilty, but let me go forth unpunished for thy mercy's sake. You would say, a man who has been tricked by Satan like that, and then the displeasure of God, and then he prays, let me go out innocent, and all the people had already suffered so badly. Surely God, as a just God, and that is what He is and remains and will be, He should have said, David, what about all the dead? And you are to leave here alive? How many died? It was an awful great multitude. I noted it here. A great many people had died. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And after 70,000 men fell, just because one person did something. But you know what? Before that it says, and Satan stood up against Israel, not against David, against Israel. You always have to read God's word very carefully. You can't miss anything. You can't overhear anything. You have to read it very carefully and then know why things are the way they are. And then it says, the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Again, the attitude of Jesus. He interceded for the people. Let the people, may your hand strike me. He saw the drawn sword. And then it says, then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. You all know the story. And David did it. In verse 26 it says, and David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. May God grant me and all of us grace to come before his face in such a way that he can hear us, that he can put an end to everything, to all dying and all that is there, that we can bring an offering upon his altar on which the fire of God can fall and the Lord can reveal himself anew and turn to us. God is truly a gracious, a merciful, a faithful God, and we sometimes don't always know exactly why things happen the way they do. But one thing we do know, God's intentions are intentions of love and peace with us. Those are his intentions with us. And whatever the enemy's intentions are, that's another thing altogether. It wasn't God who was evil against Israel. It was Satan who acted against Israel. And so it is. God loves his people. But of course, Satan is very angry. And he would have liked nothing better than for everything to come to nothing, and that nothing is accomplished or brought to completion. But we believe that God is God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true living God, the one who not only spoke through us, but spoke to us and has been with us. And I mean, it was Isaac who said, the Lord, who has been my shepherd all my life, the angel who carried me and guided me. He spoke of the angel of the covenant. So we can say, the Lord, who has been our shepherd and has carried us, nourished us, sustained us until this hour. Believe me, it was he and no one else who keeps me and you, and who keeps us all, not we ourselves, he alone. And to him let us give glory from the bottom of our hearts. I wish that the time will come when I too can freely proclaim his word here. With a radiant look, God can do it all. The darker it becomes around me, perhaps the brighter the light of his grace can shine. For we as Abraham's seed cannot help but look to the invisible as if we would see him. If we look at the visible, yes, then we can pack in and be laid into a coffin. But if we look on the invisible as if we see him, then we have a glorious future. We have glorious promises of God, and we will still see great and glorious things that God will accomplish. There are still promises that God will fulfill, certainly, 100%. We can rely on that. And even though many things have come, but what God has to do, that is yet to come, and we are convinced that God will still give the greatest, the most glorious, and the most powerful things by grace. We really don't want to lose heart. I want to say this to myself and to all of us. But we want to go forward with our God. As I said at the beginning, God has revealed His Word, not that it will come to nothing or be buried somewhere, but that it will be proclaimed and widespread, and that people will be freed from the curse of Rome, from every curse, free to serve their God. And may God truly grant us grace to do so. Until now, we have stood in a defense position, and perhaps God will help us one day to go over to the attack with the weapons of God. But for that, we need a completely new, a full equipment. I have told the Lord, I am ready to serve Him, but I want to have the same armor that the brothers got in the beginning. Power over all the power of the enemy. Not just over a little here and a little there, but over all the power of the enemy. And that the power of Satan has to bow down, and that the omnipotence of God triumphs, and that God comes into His own. And we sometimes see our powerlessness, and we cannot accept that for too long, but will ask God to make us strong. And you all know what is written for Israel. The weakest will be like David, and the strongest like the angel of the Lord at their head. And that is the promise of God. The weakest will be like David. And what was the matter with David? He took down Goliath with one simple thing, because it was the hand of the Lord. And I said that at one point. No matter which way David let go of that stone, south, east, north, west, doesn't matter at all. God would have guided that stone right where it belongs. It is not the skill of a man. It is the plan of God. You know exactly how well a human being can aim. No matter how well you aim, you can miss the target. Right? Most people point their finger at the target and miss with the second hand. We have done that often enough. But with God, nothing misses. With God, it's a bull's eye. And we want to believe with all our hearts that in the absolute restoration of all things, everything belongs to it, up to the complete equipping, the unanimity of the church, that we stand together like one heart and one soul. I almost had the impression on Sunday that everything could have happened. Is it true? Really, anything could have happened. The atmosphere was charged with the power of God. And when the unanimity is there, and the people no longer expect anything from the one who is in the front, but expect everything from God, each and everyone, then we will receive it from God. If, of course, everyone sits here and listens to the sermon, and then looks to the front after the sermon and thinks, let's see what he will do now. Will he do this? Will he do that? Then we have not yet understood why we are sitting here. We are not in the service here to look to the front if this man who has been preaching is going to do something. When we are here to look up to the living God, to know what He will do. We have to expect the work of God, not from the platform, but from heaven. And then it will come. The things from the platform, they come and go. But that which comes from above, that remains and has its effect in you and in me and in everyone else. And that is what we need. We need complete agreement with the proclamation. But then as a whole church, we also need a concept of the things that have been entrusted to all of us together. And that is what God will give us by grace. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for this hour of grace. We thank You for Your precious and holy word. We thank You, Lord, that we may come as we are and let ourselves fall completely and totally into Your hands, because we know in what time we live, Lord, and our expectation is, Lord, to receive something from You, Lord, not from the pulpit, but from You, Lord. My God, You have spoken to us so wonderfully today, Lord. We are so glad, Lord, that we may lift up our eyes to You, Lord. For You are the first and You are the last. Hallelujah. Your holy name be praised and glorified. Thou hast said, "Hearken unto me, ye my people, for instruction shall proceed from here." And Thy word has gone forth from here. We thank Thee from the depth of our hearts, O God. Indeed, Lord, if You had not spoken, where would we be today? But You have spoken, Lord. You have given instruction, Lord. Oh, we see all the great things that You made known in advance. You have now fulfilled in our days and are still fulfilling, O Lord. Thanks be to You for this. Glory and worship to You with all our heart. Bless Your people, Lord, everywhere in all places, O God. Bless Your chosen ones and lead and guide them. We need Your presence, O Lord. We need Your good Holy Spirit. Lord, we need You to reveal Yourself, Lord, that You make Yourself known to Your people, Lord, as in the beginning. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.